God says this year, 2024, is going to be the year of the open door.
It's your prophecy that will bring you out of anything the devil puts you in.
The wind is about to blow and you'll be free forever in Jesus' name.
God will not allow you to pull me down.
Faith will come to try to test your faith.
The power of the word of God keeps you.
What you're stumbling into, God left for you to find.
Coming up next on The Kingdom Voice.
The potter wants to put you back together again. So wherever you've been broken, wherever you've been scarred, wherever you've been abused, wherever you have become disappointed and discouraged and disillusioned, the gospel of the kingdom has the ability to put you back together again. Some of you that feel like just giving up, committing suicide, throwing in the towel, it's not worth it. The gospel, see, here is the problem. The gospel of salvation, that aspect, deals with eternity. But the gospel of the kingdom deals both with time and eternity. So God is not just concerned about you going to heaven. God is concerned about fixing you right now.
At The Rock, I'm learning the Bible and how it applies to my life.
At The Rock, I found God's purpose for my life.
At The Rock, our family's growing spiritually.
At The Rock, I have a great community of friends.
The Rock is not just another church, it's a kingdom experience. Join us for a life-transforming worship experience at any of our three campuses. We can't wait to worship God with you. Visit us at therockwoi.com to learn more. That's therockwoi.com.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world as a witness. I'm a witness. Would you go be a witness? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread. Oh, would you? You are caught according to his will.
DCKM, Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.
The following message by Apostle Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, making Him known to others, and spreading the kingdom message around the world. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from The Kingdom Voice.
Get your Bibles out, turn with us to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read. So I hope you're really ready to read. We're going to read verses 14 and 15.
When you have it, say amen. Let's read. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
And this is the word of the Lord. As you take your seat, tell someone, we're going to talk about this morning the gospel of the kingdom. Come on, tell somebody else on the other side that'll talk to you. Come on, tell them, we're going to talk about this morning the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 14 says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Today we're going to discuss our closeout topic or sermon for our series this month on the kingdom of God is at hand. We've taught in this series that the message of the kingdom of God is the central message of both the older and the newer testament. And to try to interpret the scriptures outside of its kingdom context will lead to faulty hermeneutics and illegitimate exegesis. The Bible is written in a kingdom context, and the message of Jesus was rooted in Second Temple Judaism, which spans from the construction of the Second Temple in 516 BC to the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans in 70 AD. So this period covers roughly six centuries and is very significant in the era of Jewish history. and it's marked by many religious developments, practices, and social structures. And for you to really understand the context in which you're reading the scriptures in, you have to kind of understand that context. Now, we discussed that John, the predecessor of Jesus, preached the kingdom. That was John's emphasis. Preaching the kingdom was at hand. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. He deputized the disciples to go out and preach the kingdom while he was still alive and they were among him in his administration. The New Testament begins with the kingdom. The book of Acts focuses on the kingdom in chapter 1 all the way through chapter 28. And Paul defines the kingdom not simply in terms of rule and reign, but as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in Romans 14 and 17. In essence, the kingdom is not simply a subject of theological discussion and debate, but the kingdom is an experience. Come on, somebody say, the kingdom is an experience. The kingdom is an experience that embraces the rule and the reign of God that manifests in the realm, which is the hearts of men, that has a spatial, spiritual, and physical reality that is both existential here and now and eschatological to come. That will be. The kingdom is a present reality and simultaneously it is a future hope. Where do you experience the kingdom? You experience the kingdom in your heart. It's an experience when God begins to rule and reign in your heart. And if God is not both ruling and reigning in your heart, he's not your king. So the realm, the immediate realm in which God reigns is the hearts of men that subject themselves to his lordship. Am I making sense? Dr. Trevor Grizzle, my former New Testament and Greek professor, says the kingdom is multidimensional. It's past, present, and future, both earthly and heavenly, temporal and eternal. The Pharisees once asked Jesus in his administration, when he was here, they asked him, when would the kingdom come? He responded, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, unfortunately, we have some poor translations that says the kingdom of God is within you. Now, you know the kingdom of God. All you had to do was consider context. And you know Jesus was not saying to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in you. And so we have people that think the kingdom of God is in them because they misinterpret this term and it means the kingdom is in your midst. He's speaking about himself. Jesus was saying to them, I am the embodiment of the kingdom. In the words of Dr. Trevor Grizzle, Jesus was and is the center, the sum, the substance, and the circumference of the kingdom. Jesus initiated the present reign of God in the world. As king, Jesus has defeated the renegade king, Satan, who usurped God's authority in the Garden of Eden, led a rebellion against God both in heaven and in Eden, and has subjected the human race to death, disease, destruction, and other painful consequence of sin. However, as king, we discussed that God is ruling over. Last week, we talked about God's rule and reign over Satan, over sin, over sickness, over the saints, and over situations. As king, Paul says this, God must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 25. Thus, in the midst of our conflict, chaos, and confusion that's happening all around us all the time, Jesus still reigns, and he's reigning until he puts everything ultimately under his feet. So he's on the throne, and one day he shall trample all of his enemies under feet. So let's pivot now, though, to this aspect of Mark's text about the gospel of the kingdom. If you notice in the New King James Version, which we read the text, there is a note by the kingdom of God, which suggests that some of the older Markan texts don't possess the phrase kingdom of the kingdom is omitted. But the translator added it so that in hopes that we would get a greater clarity of the meaning of the text. So in essence, it says, and Jesus came preaching the gospel. But it doesn't say of the kingdom in some of the older texts. And so you see a note there. And if you check, if you've got a good Bible, it'll have a note. And then it'll tell you what that note means. And so Jesus, however, I want to talk about that gospel of the kingdom because it's present elsewhere. And Jesus was not simply preaching good news. It says, and Jesus came preaching the gospel, the euangelion, but he didn't come just speaking the good news, but he was teaching about the euangelion tes basileos, the king. So he was a theo. So he was preaching about the kingdom, the rule, the reign, the royal dominion that belonged to God, the kingdom that was the possession of God. He came preaching and he said this was good news. So he came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. This is important. And so we're going to dive just a little deeper to understand the message of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. So we tend to hear and confuse today the term gospel, and we've created a multiplicity of brands of gospel, such as the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, Paul's statement, my gospel, or another gospel, or Pauline's gospel, my gospel, and the gospel of the kingdom. And so we've developed a plethora of ideologies of the gospel, and today no one knows how to define gospel. So it's as though we are talking about different gospels. So the questions are, what is the gospel? And are there many versions of the gospel? When you ask the average church person, what is the gospel of the kingdom? They respond, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, when we attempt to understand the gospel of the kingdom, we have to realize the gospel of the kingdom has to go deeper than simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he had not yet died, he had not yet been buried, and he had not yet been resurrected, but yet he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom has to go deeper than the death, burial, and resurrection.
Stay tuned for more from the Kingdom Voice. We'll be right back after this.
God says this year, 2024, is going to be the year of the open door.
It's your prophecy that will bring you out of anything the devil puts you in.
The wind is about to blow and you'll be free forever in Jesus' name.
God will not allow you to pull me down.
Faith will come to try to test your faith.
The power of the word of God keeps you.
What you're stumbling into, God left for you to find.
Now, back to this life-changing message from the Kingdom Voice.
So, Christ's message did not focus upon his death, his resurrection, and resurrection, though he most definitely taught of the importance and the necessity of the cross in order to enter the kingdom. You cannot get into the kingdom without the cross. The cross is the bridge to the crown. But Jesus did not come preaching when it says the gospel of the kingdom, or if it just says the gospel. He did not start off talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Because had that been his first message, guess what the audience would have said? Who cares? Who cares you gonna die? Didn't nobody know him. They were not familiar with his ministry. Remember, the scriptures gives us a very minimal sketch, a biographical sketch of his life. You know, we know him at birth, virgin born. We know him as a small child in a house. We know him as a child escaping to Egypt, going to Egypt, that God brought Israel out of Egypt. That's a whole nother message. But he's going into Egypt. And then we see him at 12 at his bar mitzvah, becoming a son of the commandments. And then we don't see him again to the age of 30, where he's now at the age to be a rabbi and could teach, and he could be a part of the minyan and lead synagogue. And so it doesn't teach us a lot about him. So people would have thought he was some kind of lunatic just coming up talking about, hey, you guys, look at me. You know, they're going to kill me. One day I'm going to die. And then you know what's going to happen? Ha! I'm going to get back up. Now, but because we don't think, we just read. So any believer, though, would acknowledge that the death, burial, and resurrection and what was accomplished through it is good news. It's terrific news. It's critical news. But it's not the good news of the kingdom. Now, this is what I refer to, or what is referred to in theology as the kerygma, which is essential for evangelism and discipleship as an explanation of the cross and salvation. We have to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the good news of salvation. It is how Christ became Savior in our life. But it's a package deal. It's not a different gospel. It's tied to one gospel. And so it's like we make a distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, when there is no distinction. They're one and the same. In Matthew, who's a Jewish writer who has great reverence for the name of God, he tends to stay away from the name of God, so he calls it the kingdom of heaven. And Mark, who's and Luke, who doesn't have that kind of Jewish commitment and reverence, and they call it the kingdom of God, using the name of God. But they're talking about the same exact kingdom. And so when it comes to the gospel, it is good news. The good news of salvation is tied to the good news of the kingdom. But see, here's the problem. Jesus, this is the problem. Most people say that the gospel is me embracing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he was buried on the third day. He was raised from the dead. He ascends to the right hand of God. And he lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And one day he's coming back in the cloud and he's going to rapture the church. And then one day he's coming back and he's going to step foot on the Mount of Olives and, you know, and da, da, da. But here is the problem. Jesus, in this scenario, we know him as Savior. See, because he dies for you. He goes to hell for you. He's raised for you. He's the firstborn of them that sleep. So he raises for you too. So in that message, all you embrace is what God has done for you. And so Jesus, we have to understand, Jesus not only desires to be your Savior, he wants to be your Lord. Romans 10 and 9 and 10 talks about him as Savior and Lord. Saving is what he does. Lord is who he is. And so many of us know him based on what he's done for us, but very few of us know him based on who he is. Y'all don't like me this morning. I contend that this is the reason that so many people walk to the altar and they say the so-called sinner's prayer and they walk away confessing salvation without ever coming under the rule of God. So we must never forget that the gospel was preached and taught within a context that must not be ignored, because it's the key to understanding. So when you hear the word gospel being used by Paul and others, we must not separate the word nor concept from the way in which Jesus taught the gospel. They can only preach the gospel that Jesus preached. They can't come up with another gospel. So whenever we hear Paul saying my gospel or the gospel of Jesus Christ or the gospel of grace, we have to take for granted he's talking about the gospel that Jesus taught, and he's teaching it from another dimensional aspect, but it is the same gospel. Now, just think about it. So the disciples and the apostles, they didn't have carte blanche on sermon developments. They couldn't just come up with whatever they wanted to say about Jesus. Now, how is it that they could say whatever they wanted to say, but Jesus said, I only say, y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only can do what I see him doing. But are we saying Paul and others had the abilities? They had the abilities to just come up with their own gospel because they said my gospel. So Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom, or the good news of God's rule and reign in the realm of the human heart. Thus, the gospel of the kingdom is realized in the power of God transforming human lives and reconstructing what the devil deconstructed. Now, I want you to hear me. This gospel that Jesus preached was a gospel that had the power to reconstruct what the devil deconstructed. So this gospel had the abilities to reverse the effects and the impacts of the fall of man. So this gospel became the power of this present age, having conflict with the future kingdom age. So Jesus brought the power of the future, where there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is only hope, there's only hope, joy, and peace there. He brought the power of the future into the now, and there was a clash of the kingdom. So we see him preaching a gospel of power. We see him preaching reconstruction out of deconstruction. So we see him, and in essence, we say it like this. The potter wants to put you back together again. So wherever you've been broken, wherever you've been scarred, wherever you've been abused, wherever you have become disappointed and discouraged and disillusioned, the gospel of the kingdom has the ability to put you back together again. Some of you that feel like just giving up, committing suicide, throwing in the towel is not worth it. The gospel, see, here is the problem. The gospel of salvation, that aspect, deals with eternity. But the gospel of the kingdom deals both with time and eternity. So God is not just concerned about you going to heaven. God is concerned about fixing you right now. God is concerned about healing you right now. God is concerned about turning your depression into joy. God is trying, he's concerned about reconstructing what has been deconstructed. You have to understand the gospel of the kingdom is kept such a secret because Satan understands he can't tamper with eternal things like the cross and the blood of Jesus. But he can try to mess with you in temporal things. But I want you to know that there is an aspect of the gospel that's just not concerned about the sweet by and by. It's concerned right now on how you're doing and how you're doing it. Look to somebody and tell them the potter wants to put you back together again.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Teaching of Dr. Dana Carson. If you would like to hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org/TV. For more Kingdom teachings and transformational messages, subscribe to our YouTube page at Dr. Dana Carson.
Embark on a transformative journey into biblical prophecy with the Book of Revelation, Eschatology, and the Millennial Kingdom by Dr. Dana Carson. This new release offers a profound exploration of the end times, providing deep insights into the Book of Revelation's symbolic and prophetic messages, making it an indispensable resource for scholars, theologians, and anyone eager to unravel the mysteries of eschatology and the divine plan for humanity. Pre-order your copy today at drdanacarson.org.
God says this year, 2024, is going to be the year of the open door.
It's your prophecy that will bring you out of anything the devil puts you in.
The wind is about to blow and you'll be free forever in Jesus' name.
God will not allow you to pull me down.
Faith will come to try to test your faith.
The power of the word of God keeps you.
What you're stumbling into, God left for you to find.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.
DCKM, Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.